Okay, we want to welcome everybody who's watching online this morning. I would like to start out with a prayer request this morning. We found out yesterday afternoon about 4 o'clock, I guess it was, that my sister's son, my nephew, and this is the only child she has left now, is had a massive stroke, and he's in Fort Worth. They flew him to Fort Worth in the hospital there, and he's in critical care with a brain bleed. And my sister, we got my sister, and Jennifer and Justin got packed up, and we got her packed up, and they left for Texas about 4 o'clock, no, about 7 o'clock last evening. And so pray for them. They're on their way to Fort Worth. And special prayer for my sister. This is his own child she has left. She's not good. She's going to be really, really, really hard on her when she sees David. There's not really anything they can do for him to see if he lives 3 days. And he then would have to have surgery to remove part of his skull to get the blood off his brain. And we have no idea what kind of shape he would turn out to be. So you pray for them, for Traveling Mercies there. They're on their way down there now. And most of all, pray for my sister. I don't know how in the world she's going to handle this. And it could come at a worse time than today's Mother's Day. Lord knows why we don't. But it's just a really, really hard situation. And I'm kind of disordered this morning. Let's pray together. Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus, and I lift my sister up to you. She's been through so much. It's just been a few years since Sheila died. She lost another child at birth. This is the only one she has left, Lord. I just put him in your hands, in your intensive care. And I pray for David, Lord, that for his highest good and for your glory. I pray you'll put a hedge of protection around my sister, Jennifer, and Justin as they travel. And especially hold my sister close to you when she sees David. Lord, I know that you're a miracle-working God, and I know that all things are possible to those that believe. So, Lord, we just put him in your hands, and Terry's wife, too. She's down there by herself. Lord, I pray that your perfect will might be done, that even in these situations that are so hard for us to understand, that you might be glorified, and that your will might be done, and that you will protect Terry and Justin and Jennifer and Sis. Lord, watch over them, as well as all of our church family. I pray for Frank Forthman, Lord. I pray for Frank that you'll do a healing work in his body and bless his church. Watch over them. I pray for Debbie Lovin, Celesta Goins, for Joyce Barnhill, and I pray for Daryl Bunning. Pray for Mike Hicks. Lord, all of our church family has cancer. I lift them up to you and pray for them. Lord, I pray that you'd help me get my thoughts together as I should and be able to teach this morning as I need to with clarity and understanding. And I just put them in this situation and everything in your hands, because I know that that's the best place it could be, and I know you love them more than I can understand. So I just turn them over to you, and I pray you'd bless our church and our class this morning. Be with Brother Nate as he preaches. Speak through him, Lord, and help me to get myself together and to be able to teach what you have given us this morning. And Lord, we thank you for so great a salvation. We thank you for loving us, saving us, keeping us, one day bringing us home. And Lord, what a wonderful day that will be. We all look forward to that in Christ Jesus. Forgive me where I fail you, Father, for they are many. And pray that you'll use me today as your servant to speak your word and to love your people and to, Lord, bring glory to your name. And I ask it all in the precious name of Jesus, and through his shed blood I pray. Amen.
Amen.
We're in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4. And I'm going to begin in the 10th verse, because that's really what we're going to be studying about in its entirety this morning. It says in verse 10 of chapter 4 of 1 Peter, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. For if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So he begins here in verse 10. As we look at our Christian duties, he wants to say to them, as they are facing persecution, hardship, that each one of them has a gift that has been given from God, and it's been by God's grace, and it is to be administered through God's grace. And he mentions here it's in its various forms. And he goes on to say it should be done for the glory of God. So I'm going to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And that's really where we're going to be teaching from this morning. As I finished up teaching last Sunday, we were talking about these gifts, just barely scratching the surface. And we were talking about that each person that has been saved, that has been born again by the grace of God, has been given spiritual gifts. Now, spiritual gifts and talents are two different things, and yet they are one, if you will, blends and helps the other. Because I know when Bill plays his guitar, I know that he is a blessing to me. when I hear him play. When I hear Mitzi and the praise team sing, that's a talent, but it's also blended with a gift to glorify God, a gift to serve the church, a gift. What you have to understand is when we talk about each person has spiritual gifts, those gifts are blended into that individual person. You remember I told you we're as different, each of us as a snowflake. And so each of us, God, in his purpose and plan, has taken an unbeliever, saved them by his grace, put a new heart within them, put his Holy Spirit within them, made them a new creation in Christ, gifted them with spiritual gifts, and now uses their personality, their talent, their individual abilities combined with the spiritual gifts he has given them makes every Christian unique in their own way. And they are irreplaceable. They are irreplaceable in themselves. And he's done this so that when he brings all of them together in what is known as the church, the body of Christ, each one is meant to complement the other. Each one is meant to edify the other. Each one is placed in the church, in the body of Christ, as it pleases him. Not where each of us think, well, I would rather have this gift and I'd rather be doing this. You are unique, you are special in the way God has made you, and he has placed you here in his body, in the church, with your gifts, with your abilities, with your personality, so that God blends it perfectly together in what his purpose is. And that is to edify the church, glorify himself, evangelize the lost, and let his light shine throughout the world and the community. So when we talk about spiritual gifts, we're talking about God has done this, and it is a grace gift. When we say that, it means this. It means you could not earn this gift. You did not merit this gift. And you could not obtain this gift. It is given to you by the Holy Spirit at the time of conversion. At the time of conversion. Now, I've taught on spiritual gifts. Seems like I've taught on it one time for 6 months that I taught on this subject in our church. But you have to understand that I know my granddaughter, Taylor, who I love very much, even if she does get after me sometime. I know that she texts me after last Sunday night and said, "Papa, I didn't want to ask while we were going in the service, but what is my spiritual gift?" And so I guess that's what everybody wants to know. Well, this is what I told her. I said, "Taylor, what do you enjoy doing in the church, in the body of Christ?" And she texts me back and she says, "I enjoy teaching and working with children." And she does. I can see that all over. I can see what she does. I said, that is a gift that God has given you. That is a grace gift that God has given you to use in the body of Christ to glorify him, to edify the church, and to evangelize the lost. because it is so important that each of us, no matter who we are, we're all different, but each one of us has been brought here. Nobody got here by accident. You have to understand that. God brought you here for His purpose and His will and for His glory, and He will use each and every one of us for His glory in the body of Christ, that the body of Christ might be built up and edified. And that's what we're looking at. Let me give you a scripture here. In Ephesians 4:7, he talks about the measure of Christ's gifts. In other words, Christ measures out that gift in different ways. In different ways. For me, I'm a perfect example of what I can't do and what God can do. Because before I was saved, I'd never taught anything in my entire life. In fact, I was an introvert. I would have never taught anything in my entire life. That is the way I was made up. And so when God saved me, He changed me and gave me, you may say, and you may be thinking, He didn't give you much, but what He did give me, I used for His glory and to edify the church and evangelize the lost. The same thing is true of you. Same thing is true of you. I don't care who you are. Let's just take, for example, and I'm getting out of this right now, but I want you to understand something. A spiritual gift doesn't have to just be used in the church. In fact, it can be used outside the church everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. Let's just take these men that build wheelchair ramps for people that need them. They have a gift, they have an ability, they have a talent that God has given them. But the gift to build, the talent to build, is not what's important. It is the gift of love, it is the gift of mercy, it is the gift of grace that God has given them in the building of the ramp for the people that is more important than the ramp they build. I hope you can see that. Because I know Kevin and myself and others, we will go to the person that we're going to build the ramp for, and we'll ask them, can we have prayer with you? Before we start, we'll have prayer with that individual before we ever start. And we want them to know that we're not doing this because we have to. They're not doing this because they have to. They're doing it because they want to, and because they know in their own hearts that they're doing what God has put them together and saved them to do. And because of that, what you see is you see a group of men working together harmoniously, laughing, teasing, loving one another in the process of doing something that will benefit the person they're doing it for the glory of God. And it's as important what that individual sees in them as it is the ramp that they'll use to get in and out of their house. That's what I want you to understand. That it is seeing them laughing, cutting up, teasing, loving. Whatever your gift is, the reason you've given that gift is so that they can see Christ in you. And it can be used to build up the church and the body of Christ. So if I'm teaching, if I'm preaching or whatever I'm doing, if you can't see Christ in me, then, and you can't see that I'm enjoying what I'm doing, I don't count this something I have to do. I count this something I love to do. And who I love to do it for. Same way with those men. Same way when Bonnie is helping in the kitchen. Same way when any of you are helping wherever. Same when Richard does the meals on Wednesday night. Or Tori and whoever's helping in there. Same thing. It is not as much the meal as it is them. And when Diana brought food to our house when Kay was so bad, and others sent cards and notes and calls, it wasn't what they did, it was who did it and why they did it. That is what it's all about. That is where the gift is. That is where the gift is. Bubba is building a train right now. Never been in the railroad at all, but he's building a train for Bible school right now. And he's doing it for the glory of God. He didn't have to do it. If it was me, God knows not to have me build that train. Okay? Because it would be a mess. It would not look nothing like it would if he did it. He's the only man I know that's more particular than Kevin. And Kevin's bad. He's really bad. So that tells you how bad Bubba is. Because I work with both of them. But what I want you to see, that's good. That's a good thing. Because each of you, in your own way, you are as important to this church as Nate Martin or Jack Russell or Aaron Gillis or David Atwell or anybody else in this church. You are so special and you are so important in this church because you're you. Because you're you. And God saved you. And God changed you. And God gave you His gifts. So that grace gifts, so that you could use them in this church, in the body of Christ. Last week when, I guess it was, well, I don't even remember when I preached. Anyway, Lewis taught, okay? Brother Lewis taught. I had no worries about it at all. Lewis didn't, by the way, Lewis didn't feel good that day. He never looks good, but he didn't feel good that day. And I love you, Lewis. And I didn't worry about it at all. He did a wonderful job. Why? Because God has gifted him to do that. God has gifted him to do that. It's as natural for him and flows out of him as breathing. And so this is what we're talking about here. So there are varieties of ministries in which these gifts are used, but it is the same Lord overall that gifts each one of us. And so I want to get on into some other things here because I think they're real important and I will miss them if I don't look at it. In Ephesians 4:7, what is it called? It's called Christ's gift that he measures out to you. And he does it in a way that is, fits the purpose of God. Now, let me say this. The Spirit gives the gift. The Spirit gives the gift, okay? The Lord gives the ministry. The Spirit gives the gift. The Lord gives the ministry. And God works the effects. I'm going to say it again, in case you didn't get it. The Spirit gives the gift. The Lord gives the ministry. And God works the effects. So you see, when you're using your gift in the body of Christ, you don't have to worry about anything. Number one, if you're in the will of God, using the gift that God has given you, you're going to enjoy it. That doesn't mean it won't be difficult for you at times. But you don't have to worry, is it going to have the right effect? That's not you. That's not something you have to be concerned about. What do we say? The Spirit gives the gift. You didn't earn it. You didn't merit it. The Lord gives the ministry. That is the sphere in which you use the gift. When we talk about ministry, that is the sphere or the area in which you use the gift. Okay? So the Spirit gives the gift. The Lord gives the ministry. And God works the effects. You don't have to worry about the effects. God is going to work out the effects because the Trinity is involved in you, in your life, to carry out the very purpose that He saved you for in the body of Christ, to edify the church, to glorify Him, and to evangelize the lost. All through you doing what God saved you to do in the body of Christ, and God works out the effects for all of that to the glory of His name. So that's something that we need to understand. let me go over here to chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians now. All right, let me look at verse 7. Chapter 12, verse 7, 1 Corinthians. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to the common good. The manifestation of the Spirit is shown in the use of the gift that He's given you. Okay, the manifestation of the Spirit. That's something we see here. Now, let me go to verse 11. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. So the Holy Spirit chose what gift to give you and in what measure, and not only in what measure, but that it might be blended together in your individual life and personality to be used for His glory. And so that's what you have to understand. Everybody is always saying, well, what is my spiritual gift? It is a blend of those gifts that God has given you to work out in the ministry, the sphere in which you use it, and the effects are left up to God. The effects are left up to God. See, it's like this. It's like this. And I bring up my granddaughter Taylor because I know that that's her gift, is to work with children. She loves it. She loves it because God caused her to love it. That's just the way it is. Let me tell you something, folks. If you don't understand it, people at work in the nursery are special people. They are special people. Let me tell you something. I could never do what they do. Someone would die. It would be either myself or a child, but someone would die. I don't have that gift, okay? I would be bananas. She, or many of you, I know T can because I've seen her. Now the thing is this. You may not see the effects of it at all. That's okay. Because it may be years later when the effects show up of what you did with your gift in the ministry at that time. Some of these children that are so young that she is teaching, God may use something she said or did 10 years down the road, and they may not even be around here, but they get saved and they use their gift to edify the body of Christ therein, and it's all because God handles the effects in His time in His own way. And so that's why you should never be disappointed. You should never be discouraged when you're doing what God has gifted you to do that you enjoy doing in the body of Christ, because it will bring forth fruit. Because God is in the fruit business and He's handling the effects of it. So I want you to see that when we're talking about these gifts that we're talking about here. In verse 14, let me go to verse 14 of chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians. Now the body is not made up of one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But verse 18, but in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. Every one of you, God has arranged you in the body of Christ as He wanted it to be, so that it might fulfill the purpose that He has ordained for it to become. Now, everyone in the body is as important as everyone else in the body. And that's a point he's making here. What the eye says, well, I'm not an ear. The ear says, well, I'm not an eye. The foot says, I'm not a hand. No, that's the way it... What if you had four ears and no eyes? You wouldn't be of much use. So each of us is different. Each of us in our own area, each of us in our own individual personality and lives are different and gifted in such a way that when it all comes together in the body of Christ, let me tell you something. When every individual person realizes their gift and their importance in the body of Christ and is exercising it for the glory of God without jealousy, without envy, without difficulty. There is nothing more powerful on the face of the earth than the local church filled with born-again believers. Nothing more powerful. If we can get every individual part, every individual person, together unified, using their gifts for the glory of God, not grumbling, not complaining. And this is why he says it. Well, I'm not the eye. I'm an ear, but I wish I was the eye. No, no, you don't. Each of us is vitally important. And you have been, and I have been arranged in the body of Christ for this purpose, to be used in this sphere, in this ministry, for the glory of God, the edification of the church, and the evangelism of the lost. This precept class that Diane and Lori teach outside the church, same way. What's going on? They are an extension of the church. Let's just take for instance, Heart Cry Missionary Society. Heart Cry Missionary. God saved a young man named Paul Warsher at the University of Texas, who came here and became part of the fellowship of this church, the body of Christ, who this body of Christ sent out as a missionary and a mission from this church and supported and helped. There will be hundreds, if not thousands, of people in heaven because not only did he use his gift, but the church as a whole used their gift to send him out, to support him, to pray for him, and to help him use his gift in the ministry, in the sphere that God had laid out for him. Therefore, everyone that was saved, every church that was built, everyone that was evangelized, you had a part in it. You have to understand that. In the body of Christ. Because that's how God has chosen to work. That's how God has chosen to work. And so every ministry of this church and every minister that is sent out from this church is a part of what God is using, gifting, sending out in the ministry, and the effects are all of God. And so when we look at spiritual gifts and we look at 1 Peter and what he's saying here, we all use them for the glory of God. And I could teach on this for 6 months. And I've got all my, believe me, I've got all my notes and all my, I've got everything that I used for 6 months when I taught on this. But I want you to see how that you as an individual are special. Now, you're not special because you're good. You're not special because you earned it. You're not special because you married. The only reason you're special is because God chose to save you and to use you and to gift you. That's the only reason. Nothing special about me at all. It's just what Christ has done in me that he can do through me. That's what becomes special. And the same way for you. Same way for you. No difference at all. And so when we look at what Peter is saying to them, in spite of the persecution, in spite of the difficulty, use those gifts that God has given you, and the Spirit gives them, the Lord gives you the ministry, and the Father brings the effects, and you don't have to worry about it. And so, amen. That's all I got to say. That's all I got to say. But I want you to understand how important you are to the body of Christ here, and how special you are, not because you earned it, not because you merited it, not because I did, I surely couldn't, but just because of what Christ is in you. And He's chosen you, and He uses your personality, and He uses you individually with the gifts He's given you and measured out. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for the reality of a risen Savior, a soon coming King, and the opportunity to serve You. Thank You, Father, that You have chosen us. You have chosen to give us spiritual gifts, empowered by the Holy Spirit, sent out into ministry by the Lord, and bring the effects by Almighty God, that You might be glorified, the church might be edified, and the lost might be evangelized. We give You praise and glory because You are magnificent. You are an almighty God. You are wonderful beyond our imagination. We love You. We thank You. Give us the unction of the Holy Spirit to serve You. And may You receive the glory. In Jesus' name.